joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness.
And May is going to be a month of joy for us here at We Should Talk About That. We have released 100 episodes of this podcast, and we are celebrating the entire month of May.
Yes, the whole month, because it's worth celebrating, and because we have worked our butts off to release 100 episodes to you, our WeStat community, and because, well, this podcast, it brings us both joy.
And we want to know what brings you joy. Real, unadulterated joy. This whole month, we will be collecting clips and quotes from our past guests on what brings them joy, and we hope to include your joy in that collection.
So tell us, send us a voice note, a DM, an email, heck, snail mail it to us, and tell us what brings you great pleasure and happiness, and we'll include your joy in our Memorial Day episode on 531. We are at WeStatPod on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, or you can email us at info@WeStatPod.com.
100 episodes.
100 episodes. This episode of We Should Talk About That is brought to you by the Seward Group, a full-spectrum concierge real estate company that services every price point.
What do they do? Whatever needs to be done. A woman-owned, led, and operated team, they run their business based on the following 4 tenets: integrity above all else, clients first, market knowledge and excessive preparation, and community leadership.
Not only does Lisa and the Seward Group know their community in terms of real estate, but they are huge community leaders and feel it is their job and obligation to give back to the communities that support them. By supporting their local Alexandria schools and various local nonprofits, they continue to exhibit enthusiasm and pride for the communities they serve.
If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Northern Virginia community, we encourage you to connect with Lisa and her team. To find out more, please visit www.sewardgroup.com or contact Lisa Seward, 703-298-0562. And you can email her at lseward@ttrsir.com. This podcast is made possible with support from Salon de Zen. Located in Alexandria, Virginia, Salon de Zen has an inclusive mindset which welcomes and embraces diversity. With the goal of making every client feel safe and seen, the team at Salon de Zen is dedicated to helping you become more of who you are. And I'm not just reading copy here, I'm a happy client. Hi, it's Jess Kay. For over 5 years, I've been seeing Maria Elizabeth, the owner, for all my hair transformations, from blonde to auburn, and even cherry cabinet brown. Maria has elevated my style in a way that makes me feel beautiful. The stylists at DeZen are always on the leading edge of the latest hair trends and know exactly how to use them in a way that works for you and your style.
Can a salon really do all that? We invite you to find out. Visit www.salondezen.com for more information. A chance to browse the lookbook and meet their team of stylists. Even if you're not local, you should check out what Salon de Zen is doing right now. Follow them on Instagram at Salon de Zen and find all their social links on their website, www.salondezen.com. Your hair does look great, by the way.
Thanks. It's all Maria.
This episode is brought to you through the support of Tony Miller and Ameris Bank Mortgage. Buying a home is one of the biggest purchases most of us make. House hunting can be exciting and disappointing at the same time. Some people find the perfect home in 3 days. For others, it can take months.
Tony has seen it all and understands how you feel. Once you finally find the perfect home, she wants to help you quickly find the perfect mortgage. As a native Alexandrian, Tony is your local lender providing first-class service to ensure your loan application process goes smoothly and you have the best loan option for your financing needs, so you can start your life in the home you have always dreamed of.
Personable, professional, organized, and efficient, Tony is skilled at anticipating the needs of her clients before they know what they need and can help guide them through an often overwhelming process.
To find out more on how you can secure your dream home or refinance your existing home, contact Tony at tony.miller@amerisbank.com or look her up on Facebook at Tony Slye Miller. We started this podcast because we want to have really honest, authentic, and even uncomfortable conversations about anything, but especially the things no one wants to talk about. And our hope is that these conversations can build a community of people who might feel less isolated and alone. So we are Two Jesses, and this is We Should Talk About That.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be such a great month. It's such a great month already. So great.
It is. I agree. And I love that we are kicking off our interviews for our month of celebration with Dani Souder, also known as Blonde in the District. She is the creator of an award-winning Washington, D.C. and Virginia lifestyle, beauty, and travel blog that is dedicated to body positivity and encouraging women to find their confidence through style. One look at her Instagram and photo shoots, and there is no denying the magnetism, beauty, and style of this Blonde in the District. Dani, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Thank you so much. We're just thrilled to have you here, especially because we are celebrating this entire month, and you were the first person that we thought of that we wanted to put in the lineup.
I love it.
Because our theme is joy, and your style, your writing, your mission, your photos, it's like it just hits you and it's a pop of joy.
Mm-hmm.
I love just perusing your visual Instagram page, but then I also love reading the blog. Can you tell us how you became a style maven and the evolution that happened from Dani to the Blonde in the District?
Absolutely. So style is something I have loved my entire life. Even as a kid, I loved reading magazines and looking at fashion editorials. But growing up, style was something that was so hard for me to attain because of my size. So, fast forward a few years, and I was working as a government contractor, left my really good job to go take a leap of faith to go to the private sector to work as a marketing director for a brand new tech-based company. And I got there, started to share my ideas and creative ways that we could potentially get new business and put ourselves out there. And I was constantly being told no. And I was feeling really down on myself. And I, decided, what can I do that's going to make me feel better about going to work every day in this environment that just was not a good fit for me? And it was style. It was getting dressed. It was putting on makeup or putting on, that red lip that makes me feel, courageous and confident. And that's, what got me through day to day. I left after a year. And while I was looking for a new job, I was trying to find things to build my creativity back up since I had lost it. And Blonde in the District is what came out of that time while I was, at home job searching. And I thought, over the past year, I've learned a lot about myself and how I feel about style and how style makes me feel. And why not share that with other women and encourage other women to use style as a tool to make you feel good and to make you feel confident? I think women so often can be intimidated by style or fashion. And I want to encourage women to love it. That's really how things started. And here we are. I started almost 7 years ago. So it's been a wild ride. Yes. I think a lot of things shifted, when I left that other job. But I am very fortunate taking a negative experience and turning it into something great that hopefully inspires other women too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helped you find yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it did. It totally did. It's so crazy too, when you focus on yourself and you do something that you love, when you actually follow through with a passion of yours, how much you learn about yourself. I think that is one of the biggest things in creating Blonde in the District. It helped me really dig deep into who I am.
So I do want to talk about that evolution, yes, because when you just kind of peruse the Instagram page of Blonde in the District, we see you in formal wear. We see you in active wear. We see you in lingerie. We see you in giant prints. We see you draped in absolutely gorgeous jewels. There doesn't seem to be a rule book, no, of what I am supposed to wear when I am a person of a plus size. Mm-hmm. Have you always been that way, or has that been something that you have had to grow into?
It's something I've definitely had to grow into. And, you know, again, now, today, style for plus size women is much greater than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I keep thinking of like my childhood, you know, and like I remember limited two size, you know, like limited two was all the rage and I could never wear it. So like my mom would always buy me like the largest t-shirt they had, so I could at least have, you know, a t-shirt or like stretchy bike shorts or something. And I think a lot of that scarred me a little bit. And so for a while, all I wore was like a black dress or black leggings or black jeans. It was almost like a uniform. And, you know, how many times have you read in a magazine, wear black, it'll make you look slimmer. Why can't we wear color? Why can't we wear lines, you know, horizontal lines? Oh my gosh, you should never wear that. Like, why are we always being told what we shouldn't wear? And why can't we just wear what we want to wear and wear what makes us feel good? So I think Blonde in the District actually really opened my eyes to that. And even I look back and see, you know, some of my outfits and everything was dark colors or neutrals. And now because there are more options when it comes to size inclusivity with fashion, it's really opened the doors a lot. But for a while, you know, we had to get creative. We had to get really creative. I would sometimes shop in the men's section because I could fit into the clothes better than the selection that they had that didn't go up to my size. So I think a lot of it is just owning who I am, owning what I like, and also having more options available.
What do you attribute the size inclusivity boom that seems to be going on after culturally just a wasteland desert, right, of time where all sizes could wear anything?
I think, honestly, I think a lot of it is due to influencers and social media, mm-hmm, and people speaking up and bringing this conversation to light, because women have always needed clothing to wear, but this conversation wasn't around when I was a kid. And, you know, it was always like, oh no, just lose weight. That's what you need to do. Again, we're always being told what to wear, what we can't wear. And we should just be able to, you know, wear what we want at the end of the day, wear what makes you feel good.
Exactly. And I mean, it's just that old adage of like, you know, rewriting the playbook, yep, right? Yep. You know, and I think it's interesting, like what, neither one of us would know, but what is the life of an influencer like? Like, what does that mean, you know, and how has that shaped? I mean, it's literally like changed our world in so many ways, mm-hmm, social media, absolutely. Totally. But some not so good, but for a lot of good. And this is one of those poor instances where social media has definitely proven to be a huge catalyst for great, absolutely, positive impact and social change. So talk to us a little bit about that and your experience in all of that.
Sure. So again, I mean, it's a powerful vehicle. It's a powerful way to get a message out, to start a conversation, to, you know, get a community together of people that share same ideas. The thing about influencing, though, is everyone just sees what's on the outside. Everyone sees, you know, a pretty picture, or they see that you're at this event. They don't see what you put into it and all the work that goes into it. You know, I always say influencers are editors. They are content creators. They are stylists. If you look at like a magazine and everything that goes into producing a magazine, that's what an influencer is. You know, we have many hats and our role is to do all of them and do all of them well. And all while maintaining also your voice, your authentic voice. It's a lot of work. ton of work.
So let's take a little peek behind the curtain on perhaps one of your most recent photo shoots that would be recognizable to many of our listeners. You got clearly very inspired by the inauguration. Yes. And Lady Gaga's performance at the inauguration. And that, tell us kind of, you know, in a summary of all the things that had to happen for you to be able to recreate your Gaga moment.
Yes. Okay. So this is a good one, actually. And can I just say how much I love Lady Gaga? She is like true inspiration. All, you know, almighty Gaga. I love her so much.
Almighty Gaga. I love that.
I really love her. I just, what she stands for. And, you know, I can't say enough amazing things about her. So for that shoot, when I, you know, saw her, when I was watching the inauguration, I was like, I have to recreate this. I have to, because I've recreated some of her looks in the past. So for this one, though, the biggest part was finding a Dove pin, because she had that huge pin. And so as I was watching the inauguration, I was on Etsy, like, how can I need to find a huge Dove pin. And I remembered there's a French brand that their signature is like their signature logo and design is a dove, and they have a very large pin. So I had to order this pin from France in pandemic, you know, so that was probably the hardest piece of it, was ordering the pin for it. And I didn't reach out for like collaborations or anything. I purchased all this on my own because I just wanted to do it so bad, and I wanted to do it well, you know, I really wanted to do it well. So had to wait for the pin to arrive. I ordered the skirt on Amazon. The blazer I ordered from a brand called Eloquy, and the gloves I had. And I actually had a hair braid, and I just took a ribbon and like weaved it through the braid. And then I had to reach out to the hotel. So I actually have worked with Citizen M Hotels before. So they are a connection that I have and a brand I work with. So I did reach out to them to ask them permission if I could shoot. They had to talk to their manager, you know, and we had to coordinate on the time, what worked for them. And also my photographer, I work with a local photographer, Ariel Lewis, and had to get the schedules in coordination between the hotel manager, myself, Ariel, get ready for the shoot, and then, you know, go shoot the day of. Again, a lot goes into all of these beautiful images that you are seeing on Instagram. It's not just, let me just, you know, get dressed today and go take this photo. It's a lot of creative work that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. And it's built out of passion. Yes. Like, it's not as if someone came to you and said, we need you to recreate this and you are going to be reimbursed for all of your effort, time, and work. This was something you wanted to do, and you don't have people to do it for you. Yes. That's also, I think, the life of an influencer that might be a misconception. I'm sure there are some influencers that have some people, but generally, it's like a passion project.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, it's funny because something that I've learned, and I learned about myself in this process, again, going back to, you know, kind of what I've learned of doing something that I'm so passionate about. It took me about 2 years before I started feeling comfortable to charge rates. And, you know, at first I was like, well, it's just a passion project. It doesn't matter. Why shouldn't we be getting paid for our passion work? Because, you know, that and, you know, normally your passion work is going to be even better because you care about it so much. So, you know, I know you all like to talk about controversial things. And I think something controversial that for women, we never charge our worth, or we feel bad charging our worth. And I think that that's something that definitely needs to change.
Why do you think that is? Like, what's your theory on that?
My thing, and something that I've tried to like steer away from, is, am I worth it? And we should never be asking ourselves that. Of course we're worth it. Why is that even going through our mind?
Can we talk about the brands that you work with and how you decided that that was a good match for you?
Sure. So I most recently, because the way the environment, you know, of our country, of our world right now, I always try to look at who's doing inclusive sizing, who's doing it well, and how, if they're not doing it, can we have the conversation about it? You know, how can we kind of spur this up? And that's a great, you know, social media is a great place for that. But, you know, right now my main thing is size inclusivity. Are they showing diversity? Do they support diversity? Have they been speaking out on the issues that are going on with our community right now? You know, those are really the main things that I look for when working with a brand. This climate is too important right now to not be looking at those things. Influencing or not, I think, you know, right now we should be supporting brands that are supporting the community back and standing with, you know, everything going on right now. I think that that's just very important, and it's something to think about too when you're looking at going to a new brand or going to a new restaurant or something like that. I think it's important to look at who the brand is, who the owner is. I want to know their story. And I think, you know, anyone listening out there that has a business, I think it's important to show up and show your face. And, you know, because it goes back to like influencing, you're going to visit a place or you're going to buy from somebody that you trust or somebody that you admire or somebody that you identify with. And I think that's why influencers have been so critical for marketing and advertising. And I think it's the same when it comes to businesses.
I want to dig into the difference between something that makes you feel good versus something that you know looks good on you or you know doesn't look good on you. How do you tease out I'm going to give you a real life example. Okay. Me and shorts.
Oh.
I do not wear shorts.
Okay.
I don't, because I truly believe that I look terrible in shorts. Now, through all of the sizes that I have been in my life, no matter how small, no matter how big, I just look weird in shorts. And I wonder if that's a narrative that I need to shift, mm-hmm. if it's actually you don't feel good in shorts, so don't wear them, who cares? Or am I limiting myself because I won't flippin' ever wear a pair of shorts?
So shorts, this is a touchy subject for me too, because shorts have been on my I can't do it. Until this past summer, I actually, I used to work with Trunk Club, and my stylist sent me a pair of shorts by the Good American brand. And I tried them on and they fit. And I wore them all last summer. And I was like, okay, my narrative, you know, that narrative, I'm never going to wear shorts, shifted. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it is internal. It's things that we've read in, you know, articles telling us, again, what we should be wearing or what we shouldn't be wearing. I think some of it is your comfort level, but I think you can always change that by finding the right item. You know, there's so many brands out there. There has to be something for you. You just have to look for it. So I think that the shorts are out there for you. You just have to find the ones that make you feel good and the ones that fit you well. And I say keep searching and try Good American for the shorts.
I'm writing this down in my notes on my iPhone. Good American.
Yes.
Okay. I'll check that out. Danny, what makes you feel sexy?
Ooh, freshly done bleach out on my hair and some either hot pink lips or red lips and like a really pretty dress. That's like my go-to.
And what is your go-to comfort? Like if it's a rainy, cold day and you just want to feel cozy, what does that look like on the blonde in the district?
Well, if we were having this discussion like 2 years ago, I would never say sweatpants. But given, you know, the pandemic and everything, my, you know, sweatpant and jogger collection grew from all the time at home. So I would say a really cute sweatsuit or like jogger set.
Do you ever get tired of like having to photograph these and capture these things? Because I do think that is one thing about social media. Like it makes me tired.
Yes. And sometimes you can lose your creative vision for a little while. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you use so much of it that you need to reset and you're like, okay, let me like bring it back in. Let me just focus on myself, like not blonde in the district, not work, just myself. And, you know, I think that's something that we all need to do. We all need a break, you know, from time to time. And so, yeah, it does sometimes get tiring. So I think setting some boundaries, you have to set boundaries for yourself and, you know, rest when you creatively need it.
I'm trying to think. I want to know, Jess, what makes you feel sexy?
Oh, that's a really good question, because it's definitely something that has evolved for me. And I am really trying hard to not have it be related to what particular size I'm wearing. Rob makes me feel really sexy. He has an uncanny ability, like, to make me feel like an object of desire, even when I'm not trying. So I know that you're not supposed to like feel that from somebody else, but if I do get down, there's a part of me that knows, you know, literally at any minute of any given day, should I be down to clown, he would be for it. Like I do it for him every minute of every day. And that's a very that gives me a confidence to kind of lay into that I think seeps into how I carry myself. That, and I don't love that it is like because I'm partnered up, but that's kind of the beauty of our partnership, because I didn't feel like that in other partnerships that I had. But he has provided me with just a baseline belief that I am sexy, and then I can kind of pursue what makes me feel sexy.
I think, though, that relationships can impact us and how we feel about ourselves and our confidence levels. Because I agree with you. My husband is the same way. And I love that about him. And I love that he tells me, you know, and he is constantly supportive. And I think that that's something that feeds into, you know, confidence is it's a tough subject, and it's in everything. It's in your work. It's in relationships. It's in the people around you, you know, how you're treated, how you treat yourself. So I think that, to your point, I know that, you know, you don't want to be dependent on somebody else, but it feeds into it for sure.
When people start telling you things for good or bad, they say it enough, you start believing it. And if you're lucky enough to have a partner who makes you feel like the sexiest woman alive, then you're going to start believing that. Yep. And how lucky are you?
Absolutely.
You know, how awesome is that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I say there's no shoulds here. There's just what it is.
All right, Jess B., what makes you feel sexy?
Yes.
I think I feel sexy when I feel confident. I got these pictures done. My good friend Winnie Lee, she's an artist and a photographer among 6 million other things that she does. And last week I needed some new headshots and just like some new conceptual photos for my website and all this stuff. And we had the best time. We spent like 4 hours running around ALX community, and she's like, oh, here, like do that, you know? And it was exhausting. Oh my God. And I was starving at the end because I was like, oh, I can't eat, mess up my lipstick. But I got the shots back today and I was like, oh my God, every woman should have the opportunity to have really good pictures, like at least 2 or 3 good photos of themselves where they feel like their spirit was captured. It's not about the outside. Because, you know, I could sit there and tear myself down every which way, right? You know, I'm 42, I'm this, and the bags and the sags. And bleh. But she captured the spirit of me somehow. And it made me feel so sexy. And I can't wait till they're all ready and I can, like, share them, because I think there is really something to that. Like you need to, again, it takes a village.
You know, it's funny too, on this topic of photos. So I actually did a boudoir. I worked with the brand.
I saw those. I love
that. That was actually, I was kind of nervous about it. I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, and also posting yourself in lingerie and meeting a photographer and like, you know, bearing it all basically can be intimidating and you are so self-conscious going into it. I left walking so tall out of, you know, out of that shoot and I felt amazing. And then when I got my photos back, I was like, damn, like these look good. So I agree with you. I think that there's, you know, partners have a huge impact on how we feel, relationships, photography, you know, all of that goes into confidence, 100%.
Yeah.
In addition to your boudoir shots, the other times that I often think, I mean, obviously when you're wearing high fashion and you are styled out, I always think you look beautiful, but I have damn moments with you when you are in the gym. And you've been pretty open about one of the places where sometimes you feel the least seen has been in gym culture and how that has evolved over time. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with gyms and working out?
Absolutely. It's been a struggle for me. And it's something that I think a lot of other women and men too have experienced. You know, you're like, okay, I'm just feeling sluggish. I want to like go back into a gym. I want to, you know, do this for me, it's more of like my mindset and my energy. You know, it's never about, oh, I have to shed 20 pounds. I don't even weigh myself anymore because I don't want it to be the reason that I'm going to the gym. I want the reason to be because it makes me feel good. It clears my mind. It helps, you know, my energy levels, everything. Because when you're on that 4-hour photo shoot, you have to have stamina. And, you know, especially being creative with the way you move, you have to be able to move certain ways, you know, as a model and everything. So it's just something that I have to do for myself because it makes the rest of my work easier and better. And so I think that that's an important mindset to think. And a lot of people are just like, I have to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to the gym. It should be about just getting your mind right and getting stronger mentally and physically for me. And I think a lot of gyms are, you know, you go into some of these gyms that have that certain culture where everyone looks the exact same. Everybody's at the same ability level and you feel like an outsider or you feel like you don't belong there. And so I appreciate when gyms see you where you are, no matter the level you show up as, but they help you get better and they help you get over any of those, you know, a lack of confidence in the gym. You know, now when I first walked into, you know, lift weights, I was like, oh gosh, I don't know about this. But now I'm like, okay, let's get this done. Let's get these weights on the bar and let's lift, you know? So I think so much of it is finding an inclusive environment where all levels are welcome. And I think gym culture needs to talk about this more too, because, you know, I've overheard in the gym, like personal trainers talking trash about their clients. And I'm like, that is so unacceptable. They're there, right? They're there to be bettering themselves. If any person is in a gym, they should not be talked shit about. Like nobody should be talking shit about them, but that's how I feel.
That's kind of one of the things to circle back around when you talk about the role of social media and influencers and how rapidly things are evolving from a platform standpoint. Kind of that's the beauty of social media is instead of having to wait for them to decide what is beautiful, and I use them in parentheses, like who is the they that has set the parameters of what is beauty, what is fashion, what is this? That makes me think of like Anna Wintour, like the whole entire concept of The Devil Wears Prada is, you know, we decide what is in fashion. And when the many actually start taking the power, then the few start to lose their power. And that's what I think is beautiful, is so much of what you do and other people like you and the entire body positivity movement is it's like watching a cultural shift happen in real time. It's exciting.
It is.
Yeah. And, you know, now speaking of, you know, like Vogue and everything, again, fashion for me, it's a great outlet, but it has also been almost detrimental, you know, to some, mm-hmm. the way that women perceive themselves and their bodies. So it's so interesting, you know, I love fashion, but what did it do to me as a kid? And even now sometimes, you know?
Well, and it's all stems from this message that we're not enough, or that we're too much and we need to be less, right? And that we're not okay the way we are right now. And I mean, I'm a pendulum swinger when it comes to that, for sure. I think the majority of us are. I'm curious as to like what your closet looks like.
So my closet it's pretty insane. I'll say so myself. it just looks like sequins and pink and prints and bold and cats and animals, like basically like threw up all over the room. That's what my closet looks like. You know, I love a print. I don't know. I just love to be surrounded by pretty things. And that's what my closet is. It's just all the things that make me happy.
Do you go shopping? Do you order most of your stuff online? Like, how is that in terms of, you know, plus sizes? Are you able to find your size? And let's say, because, you know, if we keep it local, like Old Town, Alexandria, there's like a whole boutique district. Yes. What's shopping like there? Like,
so Old Town, I want to preface this by saying I love the Old Town boutiques. One of my favorite things about Old Town is everything's local, and a lot of it is women owned, which is amazing. And I love that. What I don't love is it's nearly impossible for me to shop for clothing in Old Town. I get it though. For brands, it's a cost investment. I'm actually working with the Brit Boss pop-up. It's inside of Glenn Jones Salon, Hair Salon. And he has, you know, a rack of like a little pop-up in the salon. And I'm doing an event with him on May 22nd for a pop-up with inclusive sizing that I've curated. So I went through and selected all of the items. That's May 22nd from noon to 2. And we'll have sizes available, you know, his pop-up, which has, you know, the straight sizing. And then I'll have, you know, 1 to 3X available on my rack. So, you know, I think that there's things like this that are happening, and I think people are starting to see, but I think that people still want to test the waters a bit before jumping, you know, all the way in. And I would love to see more inclusive sizing here in Old Town, even if it's just a few items until things get built up, or just more pop-up shops. But I basically can't shop in person unless it's a store that has, you know, inclusive sizing. It's not possible for me. So I do the majority of shopping online, which sucks because I love shopping. Yeah. I love the act of going, touching the items, trying them on, you know.
I mean, what are all these like plus size women expected to just walk around in t-shirts and stretchy pants or like leggings? Like, it's so discriminatory to just assume that because you're, you know, a little bit bigger than the average, whatever that is, that you don't want to wear something funky and cool.
Totally. Women and men can be stylish at any size. Style, it doesn't have a size. And I just hope that people realize this and start shifting. Because again, the water has changed a lot, but we still have a ways to go. We still have ways to go.
Mm-hmm. So Dani, you alone could change people's mind, because like I said, your Instagram is a visual treat. How do people find you? And what you told us about the May 22nd event, but what else do you have cooking as the world starts to return post-pandemic?
So I'm looking forward to traveling again, events starting back up again. You know, the event on May 22nd will be my first event that I've hosted in the first pop-up shop that I've hosted in a very long time. I'm just excited about events, seeing people again, traveling again. You know, that's really what's in my future. Oh, and I can be found at blondeinthedistrict.com or on Instagram at blonde_inthedistrict.
I can't recommend it enough. It is a visual treat for the senses.
Thank you.
So if anyone is looking for inspiration and art, check out Dani on Blonde in the District. And thank you so much for being a part of our celebratory month and helping us feel joyful. And I might change out of my stretchy pants and put on just a fun dress just for just you know, for a weeknight.
Just
feel it.
You absolutely should.
We Should Talk About That is created and hosted by Jess Buchanan and Jessica Kidwell. Our production is done by Jarrett Nicolay at Mixtape Studios. The theme song, Be Where You Are, is courtesy of Astrobia.
To learn more about this or any of our episodes, visit our website at www.westatpod.com and follow us on our social media accounts. We are at WeStatPod on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This community grows by spreading the word, so follow us and invite others to listen.
And if you like an episode, consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. We are so glad you are here. Be